are the salt and the light. We know that in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at starting in verse 13. We know that we are the salt and the light of the earth, of this world. God says, I have put this in you. You are, already are, because of Jesus Christ, because of the Son of God, because of his word in us. We are therefore something for this world. We've got something for this world. We can bring truth. We have the light and we have the salt and the light, and that's what we bring into this world, correct? We bring truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. What do we bring? God's word, amen? And the Spirit, right? And the truth, the word and the Spirit. And what happens? Well, there's breakthrough that happens every time. Every time. It's not just in church. It's all the time. It's out there on the streets, amen? Because we carry Jesus said, you are. You are the salt. You are the light. And we understand that's because of Christ in us, right? Let me read to you from Matthew in chapter 5. And I want to read to you starting in verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Right? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Then it goes on, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for illuminating this word. I thank you, Father God, for the truth, Lord God, that we get to live on and receive tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So salt and light is what it's been given to us. He says that you are the salt. He says you are the light. And we understand that it is the Spirit of God in us. We do not walk without answers. The truth of it is we have the answers that we need when we keep our eyes on Jesus, because he is the answer, right? Right, amen? And so there's a very powerful scripture in the book of Proverbs. So if you want to put it up, it's Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20 and 27. I'm going to turn there myself. Okay, Proverbs 20 and 27. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of a man, your spirit, is the lamp of God. What does a lamp do? It brings forth light. Your spirit should be illuminated in his word, bringing forth the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of a man, the lamp of the Lord. And so, Father, I think about this verse. I love this verse. I think it's a very powerful verse. This verse is so powerful because it tells us it's the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God, you don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to go, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You just go. Make sure you're a vessel that is so found in the secret place. Make sure that you're a vessel so saturated in truth in his word. And then let me tell you, when you walk with that understanding, God will fill your mouths. God will, when you open your mouth, God says, I will fill it, right? His Spirit that resides on the inside of you. Now he says, you are that light. You are that salt. Amen. We understand it's his, but we also understand he's given it to us, right? Oh, the confidence that he gives us when we have this mentality, the confidence, the assurance that he brings us. He wants us to have godly confidence that we know the heart of God. We don't have to question. We don't have to wonder what is the will of God? What is the heart of God? We should know what the heart of God is. We should know, because we know God is for us. We know God is not against us, right? Amen? We know that God goes before us. We know that he opens up doors that no man can shut. We know God is for us. We should know the heart. We should know the heart. We should know the will of God. The Spirit our spirit that has been intertwined, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So when I walk, when I move around, when I do life, as I'm out, as you're out doing life, it's the spirit of God in you, but it's really the lamp of God's heart in you, in your spirit, illuminating, bringing forth that salt. Amen. Bringing forth that salt. So salt, it seasons and it preserves. We know this, right? And in scripture, it's referred to as wisdom. We know that there is an earthly wisdom, but then there's also a heavenly wisdom, right? So salt is likened to the wisdom of God, right? And a believer, as believers, we are called to bring forth wisdom, godly wisdom, to this world. Because of Jesus, the power of God in us, and the spirit of God's wisdom in us. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, 24. 1 Corinthians 1 and 24. It says, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We know that Jesus is the wisdom of God to us. You don't know what to do? Turn to him. He is the wisdom of God. Amen? And in Proverbs 9, 10, and 11, Proverbs 9, 10, and 11, I love this scripture. I have stood on this scripture for so many years in praying this scripture for many people that I love. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the beginning, or the principal part, the beginning of wisdom. As you fear the Lord, which means you have awe, you reverence God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the principal part. But that also means that there are more layers that God wants to reveal to you. Amen. As you stay saturated and as you stay tethered to the word of truth, right? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we have knowledge of who he is. He brings you wisdom. He brings you understanding. That wisdom is knowing, like, oh, this is, and understanding is how to apply the wisdom of God, right? Understanding is how do I apply this wisdom that God says, this is my word. The understanding is the application process, how you apply the wisdom of God. But it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. But look at the rest of that verse. Because it says, for by me, your days will be multiplied and years will be added to you. And like I said, I've prayed this verse so many different times, and I continue to pray this for various people, right? And I always say, Lord, because they fear you, God. Lord, I thank you. You're going to multiply their years. You're going to be adding days to their life. Lord, I thank you for multiplication and in good health. Do you know somebody that you're praying health for? That they maybe they're a body, they've been, there's a diagnosis of some sort, right? But you know it's not the will of God. Pray this scripture, Proverbs 9, 10, and 11. Father, they fear the Lord. I know they fear the Lord. I know they walk with you. This is wisdom. This is how you walk in the salt and the light of the truth, God's word. You know it, and then you walk in it. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And for by the Lord, your days will be multiplied and years will be added to them. Years. And of course, I know, right? And then I always just put in good health. I add that part. In good health. Because we can. Why? Faith is going to move mountains. You ask and you shall receive, right? So we have to stand and continue to stand and not be moved. That's our job as those that carry the light of Christ. We stand and we will not be moved. Amen? Then we will look at James 1:5. James 1:5. Remember, we're talking about the salt. We're talking about the salt, meaning wisdom. And in James 1:5, it says, If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. He's the giver of wisdom, heavenly wisdom, the best wisdom, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally. In other words, generously. I love that. He gives us wisdom in a generous way, and it says without reproach. So without finding fault. without finding fault. He gives us wisdom, and it says, and it will be given.
Lord, because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to the team.
If we're going to walk as the salt, if we're going to walk as the salt of the earth, then we're going to walk in a way that has the answers, because the world needs answers. The world needs Christians that understand how to give those correct answers that come from the throne room, not from our own soul, our own flesh, common sense, or what the world says. But what does God say? What does Scripture say? And even in the church, we need to make sure that we are people that understand the wisdom that we give out is going to be pure. It's going to be pure. It's going to be wisdom that comes from God. It's not going to be soulish. We're all following, right? Yeah. So is it scriptural? That's what you got to ask yourself. Is it scriptural? Because it needs to be, right? Yeah. And since we're in James, let's look at 3:17. James 3:17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You know when it's God. You know. If you're in your word, you know. It's pure. It's pure. God's wisdom. It's peaceable. It brings you peace. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. Slow down and seek him. Right? Full of mercy and good fruit. And without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that's from above. That is the wisdom that is from above. I think we can meditate on that for a bit, don't you? I think that we could glean from that, don't you? I think that there's so many things here that the Lord would want to bring forth that we could meditate on the wisdom. He says you're the salt. He says you're the light. So how do we bring that to pass? By walking in the wisdom of God. By walking in this, what is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. That means we need our souls healed, right? Our souls need to be healed, fully healed, because the more that your soul is healed, the more that you walk in the truth without compromise, the more that it is just not about you, the more that you understand, wow, Lord, thank you. You touched my mind. You've touched my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. Amen. Now let's look at Proverbs 2 and 6. Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Thank you, Father. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's the only kind of wisdom we want. That's the only kind of knowledge. That's the only kind of understanding we want, is that which comes from the throne room. Think about it. When you're in your prayer time, when you're in the secret place, what do you think God is pouring out? If we would only listen, right? I mean, he's pouring out, but are we listening? He wants us to listen. He wants us to hear. He will pour out his wisdom. He will pour out his answers. He will pour out what you need. Now, that doesn't mean the circumstance changes necessarily right away, but you have what you need to carry out that day and the next day and the next day, and it doesn't matter how long until you see the fulfillment. You're walking in wisdom. Why? Because you're carrying the salt. You are the salt and the light. God's given it to you. It's him. It's his spirit in you. Where the world's like, I don't know what to do. You says, well, I do. There's an inner witness called the Holy Spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And he leads and guides us into all truth. You think about this is a benefit. This is a benefit of serving God, of being a Christian. It's a benefit. We're not in the dark. We're not clueless. We're not people that have not been given the wisdom from God, the revelation from God in every circumstance. Now, you might think, oh, well, I can't believe she can say that so confidently because I can't. Well, if you can't, then slow down and be still in his presence. You will be surprised what he reveals to you. He will reveal the truth. He will show you. He'll calm your heart. He'll calm nerves. He'll calm your racing minds. Amen? Glory to God. So contrast this to wisdom that's not coming from God. Contrast this to the wisdom that comes from the world. Well, that's soulish. That's demonic. The Bible says that it's earthly, it's sensual. Boy, is there a lot of that going around. Soulish, earthly, sensual, and demonic. Which just basically it is. It's a soulish realm. We get to walk in the truth. We get to walk in wisdom. We get to walk in wisdom that comes from above, the heavenly wisdom. And it's beautiful. Thank you, Father. So divine wisdom, it's a gift from God. Thank you, Father. And it exceeds human wisdom. You have to make a decision. Press into the heart of God. Don't make that decision until you've done so. Don't you know the enemy wants to trip you up and trick you right in the process? You need divine wisdom. We need divine wisdom. That's why I say you got to slow down sometimes and really seek him. And he's not trying to withhold it. He's not withholding his wisdom, but he does want us to press into him. Amen. So divine wisdom, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And it exceeds human wisdom. Thank you. Wisdom and salt. We are. This is what God has given us. Salt, light. That's who Christ is. He says, you are this now. We are this now. Let's look at light. Jesus said, you know, he says, you are the light of the world. Back in Matthew. Matthew 5. Let's go back there. And in verse 14, you are the light of the world. You know, we know it's Jesus is the light, but that's not what it says here, huh? Because as he is, so are we. He fills us to the overflow. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I want you to walk in that beautiful light, just shining forth wisdom of God. Not hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It's not so that you can be all puffed up, and it's not so that you can be all praise unto you. It's praise unto Jesus, right? It's not so you get glorified. It shouldn't be. He knows who he can trust. Can he trust you? The answer should be yes. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke. Well, he said, I am the light of the world. We know that. In John 8:12, he says, Jesus spoke to them again, and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So right there, he explains it for those that needed it explained. It's like he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows after me will not walk in darkness. You will walk in the light of Christ. In Matthew, he says, you are the light. It's the light of Christ in you, shining forth even in darkness. That's why you have answers. That's why as a believer, when you walk into a room that's filled with chaos, you bring the answer. Isn't that true? We bring the peace when there's all a bunch of chaos. We bring God's truth. We bring the stillness even though there's confusion. That's what we get to do. It's a privilege. It's a gift. God's given this to us. But we need to have our senses fine-tuned so that we recognize, oh, at every moment and every day, We get to walk this way. Lord, what's going on in the room? Lord, what's happening in the room? I do that all the time. I did it today. I don't know how many times. Even under my breath. Because I can see lots of stuff. Mm-mm-mm. Not on my watch, devil. Mm-mm-mm. You're not going to bring in a disruption and nuh-uh, not on my watch, devil. Do you do that? We need to. Why? Because you carry the light. If you're carrying the light, then you're not in the dark. Even when darkness tries to appear, opposition tries to appear, shut it down. Don't move from your position of authority. Stand firm. Recognize that this, as a Christian, we don't take breaks. We don't take breaks from Christianity. We don't go on vacation from Christianity. It's constant. But we learn to be on vacation and still be a Christian. We learn to be at peace, no matter what the craziness all around us is. But we also shut it down. Right? It's important. We need to know this, because if he says, I am the light of life, he says, I am the light, but he who walks in the light, they're not going to walk in darkness. And then he says, you are the light. We are the light. It's Christ in us. We know that. We're going to illuminate Christ's light. We're going to bring it forth. We're not going to be embarrassed. We're not going to be ashamed. But if anything, Lord, more boldness. More boldness, Lord. Psalm 119. Let's put up Psalm 119 in verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word, hallelujah. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word, what we're reading right now tonight, what we're speaking forth right now tonight, your word is a lamp. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word will direct your footsteps. His word will tell you what to do, where to go, and when. It is his word that is illuminating your steps. Amen. There's light. Though the enemy would want to bring trickery, it's impossible for someone that's going to stand in truth. Impossible. Did you hear? I said impossible. It is impossible for you to be tripped up. The only way that it is possible, if you take your eyes off of who you are in Christ, which you're not going to be a fool and do that. You've walked many years as a fool for the enemy, but now you're a fool for Christ. You're going to walk with your eyes focused on Jesus, right? Therefore, it is impossible for the enemy to come and bring in his darkness and you to be tripped up, because you're going to be listening. You're going to be listening. You're going to make sure that your ability to hear the Spirit of God is fine-tuned. And if anything else, even if nothing else throughout tonight, you will make that decision in the Spirit that I want to be so, so fine-tuned in the Spirit that I hear so clearly, that I walk accurately, sharply with Jesus. Don't you think we can all improve on that? 100%. Absolutely. So Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word, let's eat of it, chew it, think about it, meditate on it, live in this word, because it's your word, he says, a lamp unto my feet, your word, and a light unto my path. And 1 John 1:7, thank you, Abba. You know, we could just read scriptures and you would be edified. You would be filled. Your soul would rise up, right? And your spirit would soar as it should. You know, your soul rises up, which is your mind, body, and spirit, right? Your mind, will, and emotions, excuse me. Your soul. Right? It's supposed to rise up too in a healthy way. Your spirit needs to be strongest. But your soul needs to come under alignment, It needs to come under alignment, but not kicking and screaming. It should be also built up so that there's not this internal war going on. Because otherwise there's an internal war going on. Your thoughts are telling you one thing, but you will know better because your spirit's born anew, and then there's this constant internal war. No. Make sure you let your soul be fed. And that's what's happening here right now, right? 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, if, which means some people choose not to, right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, well, why would we want to walk anywhere he's not? if we walk in the light as he is in the light. There's so much darkness out there, guys. And there's many people that are not walking in the light, of Christ. But it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us, washes us, renews us of all sin. So we get to walk in the light of Christ, and he is beautiful, is magnificent. Amen? Thank you, Father. I'm just going to jump over to Ephesians in chapter 5. Thank you, Father. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. See, as we walk in the light, we find out what is acceptable to the Lord. It's not a secret. He's made it very, very clear. I'm going to reread that. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Now, he's talking about before you were saved. Darkness. But once you said yes to Jesus, the light of Christ came in on the inside of you. And the more that you spent time in his presence, the brighter, the better you understood that light that's been given to us, which is Christ. Amen? So, but once, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. It's a decision that we make, and we need to make this decision every day. We need to make this decision every moment of every day. Because if you don't think that the enemy tries to come against you, then you don't understand spiritual warfare. You don't understand how he tries to mess with your mind, tries to mess with your emotions. Every day we make a choice to walk in the light of Christ, knowing that we are the light, reminding yourselves. You got to remind yourselves. That's what Jesus said. He said, I am the light. It's Christ in me, but still, I am the light. It boosts your confidence in Christ. Amen? So walk in the light. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship. Have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful works of darkness. Many Christians walking in unfruitful works of darkness, not because they're not saved and not because they don't have the light, but because they're choosing to walk in unfruitful works of darkness. It's a choice. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're walking in the light, though you should be, but it's a choice. It says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. People go, it's so harsh. Well, then you don't know the word of God.